Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation. So glad to be with you here today. Today's topic is finding a niche for your cleaning company. And I was really on the edge of whether I should do it or not. Not because it's not important, quite the opposite. It's super important. The problem is, for these podcasts or broadcasts, we always want to come up with what I feel are like kind of sexy titles. And I got to tell you, one of the things that people, I don't say fight me the most, but have the hardest time absorbing is finding niches for their cleaning companies and just the absolute transformative leverage power with that. So I went ahead and did it, and I'm like, I don't think it's going to be the sexiest one. It's not going to be the most downloaded one, but if you're here, congratulations, because this is quite possibly one of the most important ones, right? So I'm going to walk you through exactly why and how and all that good stuff. Let's start, if it's okay, with some backstory. I just want to let you guys know kind of how I figured this out, right? It's not just stuff, something I learned or, kind of had a hunch on. This is all stuff that I've learned and done the right way and the wrong way and want to share with you to help you make better, smarter mistakes than the one I made. So I don't know about you guys and gals, but I grew up in business just assuming, thinking that the more potential customers I had, the better. I remember, I don't know if they have it anymore, but, and I don't even know if they have it in your part of the world, but we had something called Waves or some sort of, it was like a fitness club just for ladies, right? And I remember thinking, this is before I was in business or knew anything, gosh, this is so dumb. Like half the clients you're eliminating. But as you're going to see, we're going to go forward, the numbers of that made no sense. It was such a genius idea, right? They should have even gotten more specific. You can even see it in dating sites. It used to be like, I'll show you my age because I've been married for 10 years, but like match.com. And then there's like JDate. And then I'm seeing commercials on TV for like farmerdating.com, like very specific niches, right? So when I had that lack of insight on how to pick a niche, I struggled to get, I bought a company about $500,000 in revenue, and I just struggled to really grow it past that, right? I had this vision of like taking over the business world and being national and just being huge. And I assumed the more hooks I had in the water, so to speak, the better choices or chances I had to get big, right? I felt like I had a lot of different little businesses and little different people I served, because we had a manufacturing company at one point and we manufactured a bunch of stuff. It was all manufacturing, but I didn't really specialize in one thing, right? We did tents and we did bags and we did covers and we did custom work. And I never really had a specific customer I could say like, oh, this is my customer. I can really figure his stuff out. And my reasoning, and some of you guys and gals might have the same thing, was I'm like, if I have a bunch of little different kind of niches going on here, either one of them can explode, right? I got a bunch of hooks in the ocean. If just one of them explodes, I'll be okay. Or if they all just grow a little bit, like the combined effort of that will be a lot. But that wasn't the truth, right? And when I look back, it was really me kind of wanting to flex my entrepreneurial muscles and just show myself and my family and the known universe, anyone that would listen, that I knew what I was doing. But the strategy I used to try doing that was the exact opposite of what I wanted. It wasn't going to get me where I needed to go. So I figured this out. And again, this cost me a lot to learn. So I love being able to give this to you guys for free and gals. Some of you guys have heard the story, the first, like from, I think I bought my business like 21, 22, and like the next 8 years, I was just all in on business and, wasn't a particularly great husband because I was so focused on the wrong things. My wife left and I had to start from scratch, right? I was nothing. I was so broke. I couldn't even afford to like pay attention. It was bad times. And not only that, at the time I was kind of like doing the worst in my life, in business and money. I had divorce lawyers to pay, and I had alimony and child support. So I had all these financial commitments, and my whole life I'd done well because I worked so hard in business. This is the first time I lost interest in working, right? Because I lost my family, but I needed to have money because I had all these financial commitments. So I wish I could say I was super smart and decided to focus and pick a niche and just do one thing. Couldn't be further from the truth. I just didn't feel capable of living this life I'd had where I was just focused so much on business. So I felt like I could only handle a little bit, right? So, you know, when my wife left, not Natalie, by the way, for those of you who know me and my family, I've been married to Natalie for 10 years now. We were dating for 4 years before that. So this is a long time ago. But when my first wife left, I went bankrupt, lost the whole company, kind of had to start from nothing. And I had this experience in this manufacturing business that, again, we did party tents and camping tents and awnings and shade structures and just all manner of like nutty things, right? And when I started over, I was like, I can't start. I just don't have the resources emotionally or financially or time, nothing to do all those things. So I just picked shade structures. We just did one little piece that was probably 10, 20% of our business before. So before, I could never really get that business beyond $500,000. But once I was able to focus, not only did I grow faster, oh my gosh, my life was so much easier, right? And I still had to fight the demons. And some of you guys and gals are there, even the ones that I coach, even in some of my millionaire masterminds, some of the brightest entrepreneurs always have a new idea, right? And I'm always trying to like keep them focused, stay here, don't do 17 other things, right? So some of you guys probably feel this way. So I still had to fight the demons that would whisper in my ear, try this, do this, this will be fun, right? Because we're entrepreneurs, so we're just by nature full of all these probably great, all these ideas for sure, probably great ideas. But you pick any 17 ideas, and even if they're all good ideas, you'll do better with any one, right? So just my lack of energy and ability to like live life at that time, what I was going through, kind of stopped, tamped down that thing I'd had my whole life of having 1,000 ideas. And at the time, it didn't feel very good. I kind of missed my entrepreneurial desire and didn't even care anymore. But holy heck, that oddly enough, the thing that kicked me in the teeth the most and like kind of held me from being the entrepreneur I typically was, gave me the ability to focus for the first time on the one business I had, just that one business model, just shade structures. That's all we did. And I grew a seven-figure multi-million-dollar company with that so much faster just because we were doing one thing and we're doing really well. I found out who the contractors were and who the players were nationally. It's just all this information I had, useless information to anybody that was outside of that industry. But in that industry, to me, it was worth millions, right? And it was good for me because I had to make this work. Like I said, like if you don't, God forbid any of you know this, but if you don't make your child support or your alimony payments, they don't just like, you know, yell at you. They throw you in jail. So I had pretty high stakes to like make some money to do this. So it was a big deal. And because that time of my life was so chaotic, I saw the light a little bit and kind of understood that this new focus helped me to grow so much faster than I had ever grown before. But I didn't really get it until I sold my last brick and mortar business. We started this business, right? I decided, hey, I don't want to have a bunch of employees and all that. We sold a couple businesses for seven figures each. So we were in a position to be able to do what we want. I'm like, I want to coach other people, right? I want to start this coaching business. So when I first started, I started with a podcast and you guys are like, yeah, I know this podcast. It's great. Nope, not this podcast. I started with a podcast called, Conversations with a Genius. And I hate that name because every time I said it, I always thought that everyone thought I was the genius and I named a podcast Conversations with a Genius. Which is so arrogant. It wasn't me. I had conversations with people that were smart, right? People that did really well. So anyway, just a dumb little thing is why I hated that name. But, I like the name of people got, oh, the genius is a mic. It's the other guy. But either way, and I would just interview successful people and it was a ton of fun. And we actually built an audience pretty quickly. Like it was from other podcasts are like, wow, you're successful. You got this podcast. People were interested pretty quickly. The problem was because they weren't a niche. It was just general people that were interested in successful people talking about how they were successful. Like that's not really a niche. It was so broad. I couldn't really give value to, I mean, I could give value in terms they were somewhat entertained and they got some stuff, but I couldn't sell them anything. I couldn't give a deep value. So I had this podcast with this audience of people and really no way to monetize it or no way to really help them, right? Because it was just this broad thing. So when I shifted and decided to, one, it's weird. One of the things I found are just some of the people that were attracted to that podcast were owners of cleaning companies. And for those of you guys who know me, I had a cleaning company, right? So I was like, kind of serendipitously, that's just who showed up and I had experience in that. And I actually just liked owners of cleaning companies, by the way, one of my favorite things. Everyone on our team loves you guys, Cleaning Nation. We all show up every day to serve you. We just love serving you. So that was just a bonus. You don't have to have that to have a good niche, but it sure is nice when you love your niche. So serendipitously, we got into Owners of Cleaning Companies, and holy crap, that podcast didn't become as big as the first one. It took, but I mean, the first one hit some pretty serious download numbers the first couple of months. It probably took the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast a year and a half, 2 years to hit those same numbers. But because it was such a specific niche, I was able to really make an impact on you guys and monetize it and sell coaching or services or try and help you. And the impact was just so much bigger. So the difference was, if I just wanted to be all things to everybody in business, but like, hey, if you have a business, I can help you make it better, which is probably the truth. No one was interested. There's so many coaches out there. There's so much competition. I could have spent decades and millions of dollars trying to make a name in that kind of semi-random or general just business owner space. But because the Owners of Cleaning Company is such a small little community, I could quickly become a big deal in that small area, just like for you guys. If you're just another cleaner in your city, especially if it's a big city, it can be tough to make a name. But once you... You know, like Phoenix, Arizona, that's where I'm from. And it's a big market, right? There's millions of people there, and there's probably hundreds or certainly dozens of cleaners. It's just another cleaner. But if I'm like the guy that does law offices or golf courses or mortuaries or car dealerships, I can know more about how their business works and really impact them at a much deeper level. So it's the difference between basically digging 1,000 little wells, right? Every time you get a bid, like, oh, here's a bid for a dentist office. I've never done that before. I'll have to figure that out. And then, oh, here's a bid for, you know, a lawyer's office. I've never done that. I'll try that. Oh, a government bid. I'll give that a spin, which is what we do. We kind of have to reinvent the wheel and learn every time. What happens is you keep digging these little 10-foot holes that never strike oil or never strike it rich, right? If you just find one niche that you're good at, you can go all the way to the bottom. And I can confidently say, I have forgotten more about how to grow a cleaning company than 99.999% of the world, maybe anyone in the world knows, because it's all I do every day, all day, super focused, right? So if you want that confidence, you just need to dig 1,000-foot hole, and you can be pretty famous in a very small niche, right? If I just walk the earth, I'm not like an Anthony Robbins or you know, in the business world or Gary Vaynerchuk where everybody knows, which is fine. That just takes a long time and very few people can reach that. But if it comes to a place where there's owners of cleaning companies, when I go to like a I don't want to say convention, but one of the meetings, you know, ISSA or something, a trade show, industry meeting, there's like, hey, Mike, it's you, the guy from the podcast, you know, that sort of thing. So that's a big encouragement. The opportunity shifts from trying to dig 1,001-foot holes to 1,000-foot hole, right? To really being the best to a specific group of people. And when you do that, every action that you make has a bigger impact, a larger reach. It's worth more money. It just really leverages your time. And then again, once you own that niche, you can go, but let's go framework. So hopefully you understand how I kind of discovered this, how it can work in your life. Let's talk about how to make it work in your life, right? So believe it or not, and no one ever believes this, but I keep saying it because I figure if I say it enough, one of these days it'll take. I would almost rather you have an average to a not great niche than no niche, okay? So I'm going to give you a framework of how to pick your niche, but I don't want you to get caught up in that because or you can get caught up in it, but so many people are like, oh, I'm trying to find the perfect niche, which does not exist. So they have no niche and they just take anybody. That's a problem, right? And I'm going to tell you the exact things that you need. But the problem is everyone adds their own things. Like, oh, they have to be super rich or super nice or this or that or easy to get a hold of, or they just make up all this stuff. I promise you, this is what you need a niche. Number one, two, and three, the big thing, and this is what nobody gets, is they got to have pain, and they have to have massive pain, right? So I think it was Gary Halpert, great copywriter, but one of my mentors that I've read from said, if you're going to open a restaurant, what's the number one thing that you want? And people said the typical, like, great food, a good location, you know, clean restrooms, good advertising, you know, good cost of goods, whatever, all that stuff. And he said, no, the number one thing you want is a starving crowd. Abso-frickin-lutely, right? Which couldn't be more true, right? If I had the best, you know, I like Mastro's. If you guys have Mastro's in your town, go to Mastro's. Delightful. One of the best steakhouses ever, in my humble opinion. But if I could have a Mastro's at a place where everyone was full, or a hot dog stand with crappy hot dogs where everybody was starving, I'll take the hot dog stand. It'll make more money every time, right? So number one is understanding, making sure your people have pain. So if you're talking to your prospective customers, your prospective niche, and they don't have any strong feelings, like, yeah, we have a cleaner. We've had them for, I don't know, who does the cleaning? What? I don't know. that there's no pain, right? It's going to be a son of a gun to try. The only thing you got is, hey, maybe I could do it cheaper. A, that's not good for your business model. And B, it's hard to make them switch just to save a nickel, right? And that's not the customer you want anyway. This is cheapo. Two, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so, this is my biggest vendor headache is with cleaners. They drive me nuts. I can't, it's a part-time job for me. That pain shows that you've got something. So first, second, and third, make sure you've got pain. Second, make sure they have money, right? If they can't pay their bills, don't market to them. It's going to be frustrating for you and frustrating for them. And then three, make sure there's enough of them to meet your goals, right? Like I might love bowling alleys. They might have massive pain. And they might be like, I'll pay anything to solve this. But there's three of them. And if cleaning three bowling alleys, and that's assuming I get all 100%, which is unlikely, isn't enough to hit my goals, then it's not a good niche, right? Now, if there's 300 of them, that's a different kettle of fish, right? So one of the things that people don't get is math, you know, on the residential side, certainly people are like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, my niche is whatever, retired people or married couples or young people or whatever the case may be. And, but I got to switch niches. There's not enough. I'm saturated. Right. And we'll go through and be like, okay, you know, how many, let's just say it's wealthy, married, dual income families. Right. And you're in a town of 500,000, not even a big city. Right. Of the 500,000, how many people would qualify? How many households do you think there are that qualify for that? Like 50,000, 10% would be married, dual income, blah, blah, blah. Call it 50,000. So, or 10,000, whatever, right? Depends on the city. Let's say 10,000, which is super conservative. And I'll ask them, how many jobs do you have? How many of those 10,000 do you have? 9,000? 8,800? Like, you know, you feel like you're kind of saturated. You can't go anymore. And they're like 30 or 100. So here's the deal. What the reality is, what they're saying is I'm bored with my niche. I want to go do something else because it'll be fun. So that's fine. If your goal in life and your business is to kind of scratch your entrepreneurial itch, go do whatever you want to do. That's fine. But if you're like, I want to have the biggest impact, make the most profit and get there the quickest, you're going to really want to focus just on your niche, right? And don't feel like, oh, I'm having to switch because it's saturated. Typically, it's not saturated. You're just bored, right? Which is fine. You just need to know what the truth is and not make a I'm bored switch and then say that it's because it's, you know, financial. It's not. And then even for residential or even for commercial, where the numbers are a lot smaller, if you don't have 10% of your niche, it's not diluted, right? So if you go to, you know, car dealerships, just, you know, in a big city, you can go to the government, they'll say who has a car dealership license. There might be 400 or 500, right? And if you don't have 40 or 50 of them, it ain't saturated, right? So you're not saturated till you hit at least 10. Even once you hit 10%, that doesn't mean you are saturated. I'm saying you can't even have that conversation until you hit 10%, you're not saturated, right? So again, the beautiful thing is, I promise you from experience, this and running my company with core values, which if you're interested in, we do a lot of that on other podcasts. But really the two things that allowed me to, after 8 years of struggling and working and trying to build, to quickly grow my first multi-million-dollar business was picking a niche and really focusing all my efforts, which I know it's not sexy, sounds boring. But again, my goal here is to help you guys. What's sexy and not boring is making a lot of money, serving a lot of people, building an amazing team, having fun. That's a lot of fun. So if you're okay with the boringness of staying with one niche, you get a lot of other stuff. So that was the big lever. Culture and niching was the big two levers that allowed me to grow my first multi-million-dollar business so much quicker out of the first couple. And here with you guys, it's allowed me to have a much, much bigger impact, right? If we served a bunch of different people, I just couldn't do it as well. The fact that I've literally talked one-on-one with hundreds, probably thousands of one-on-one conversations with owners of cleaning companies, and certainly thousands in a group setting, whether it's speaking one-to-one or doing webinars or Q&A or events. By the way, we're having an event 48 hours from now. It's going to be amazing. That focus, I know more about your customers and your prospects than you probably know, just because I've spent so much time in this niche. And I want to give you that gift of being able to have that power with your people. This, guys and gals, is the secret that almost all successful people get, but so few people do. And that's part of why people aren't successful, right? And I think a big reason is not sexy, right? Just be, you know, like, I love my wife. We've been married 10 years, having that like amazing relationship that's the foundation of my life, not sexy, right? It's like, oh, I'm jet setting and dating a bunch of other people. And, you know, the single life a lot more sexier, but really focusing on one thing is for me has been a lot more rewarding, both in my married life and then certainly in business. So not saying you have to be married. I'm just saying that focus and that like kind of monogamy towards your niche isn't sexy in the world, but it is what will get you wealthy and be able to serve. And there's all sorts of amazing things. All right. If you're digging this, you're like, yes, yes, Mike, I need more, 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 and more. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/grow event. For those of you that are listening to this live or in the next, we're recording this January 19th, 2021. The event's starting. This is a Tuesday. It's going to start Thursday. We're not even charging you anything. You just put your credit card in. It's $200 after the event if you like it. Or you can prepay $150. It's going to be 2 full days. Right now we've got a lot less people than we had at the last one, which is awesome. I don't even think we're gonna have 100 people in the room. So, if there's only 50, 60, 70, 80 of you guys, we are going to be able to have a lot more one-on-one. There's going to be role play. I'm going to coach. We're going to talk through it. These events are so freaking much fun. Tracy, our mindset coach, is going to be there. It's just going to be a blast. So if you want 2 days with people that this is all we do is help owners of cleaning companies grow and be amazing. Come join us, growmycleaningcompany.com/grow event. We're so confident in this thing. Like I said, you don't even have to pay until after we've done it. It's only a couple $100. So anyone that is committed to really growing, whether you're just starting, whether you're cleaning and try to get out of cleaning, whether you're out of cleaning but get sucked back in, you're out of cleaning completely but you're stuck in the office, if your business or you're growing but not fast enough, if your business is not giving the results that you want, join us at growmycleaningcompany.com/grow event. It is going to be live. It is going to be interactive. It's going to be on Zoom. I'll see you. You'll see me. And holy crap, we are going to have a ton of fun. So join us for that. If you are listening not at that time, not before January 21st, I think that's when we're starting, basically Thursday. Still go to growmycleaningcompany.com/grow event. We're going to constantly update that with whatever the next event is, if we're going to do another one. So you can check there anyway to see if we're doing an event. All right, guys, gals, if you're getting value and love this podcast, subscribe, rate, review, refer a friend. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.